All right, if you take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 19. We began looking at a verse of Scripture here. We read the whole Psalm and saw how the psalmist David, this is a Psalm of David, and he was thinking about how the heavens declare the glory of the God and how the firmament showeth His handiwork and how magnificent and glorious God is, and how His creation shows that forth. Then he began to think upon the law of the Lord, God's Word. And as he thought about the glory of God, and as he thought about the law of the Lord, he began to think about himself and his relationship with God. And he says there in verse number 12, let's pick up in Psalm 19, verse 12, "Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from my secret faults." So his thinking upon the glory of God and the law of the Lord caused him to look at himself inside. And we see there in verse 13, he prayed that God would, he says here, "Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright and shall be innocent from the great transgression." And then the verse 14 is what we're looking at. Last week we looked at the words of our mouth. He said here, he said, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." He was concerned about the words of his mouth. And we looked at that last week. And then he's concerned about the things that he thought upon, the meditations of his heart. Now, the reason why I think he thought about the meditations of his heart is because he realized that the things that you think upon, those are the things that will come out in your life if you're not careful. At one time or another, we've all struggled with our thought lives, haven't we? It seems as though daily we find ourselves combating thoughts of worry, doubt, fear, lust, and evil thoughts, anger and malice and bitterness. I mean, we could go on with that list. And there are times when the Holy Spirit immediately pricks those of us that are saved regarding our thoughts, and we wonder, man, how in the world could I even think something like that? That ever happened to you? You know, you think, well, how could I be so wicked to think about that? Then there are times when the Holy Spirit pricks our heart about our thoughts, but we just try to justify them instead of confessing them as being wrong like they are. And then there are times that some folks don't even give their thoughts a second thought. And this is an indication that a person may be either lost or severely backslidden to the point that their heart is hardened to the things of God. May God help us from having a hard heart toward the things that he has written in this book. The psalmist here prays that not only would the words of his mouth be acceptable in the sight of God, but also that the meditations of his heart, in other words, his thoughts or the things his mind dwelt on, would be acceptable unto God also. We are quick to judge others because of their outward actions, aren't we? I mean, we just all are. And while we may not have done such things as somebody else ourselves, we may have thought it or had even worse thoughts ourselves. I want you to understand this. Before a person does something wrong, they normally think about it. They normally thought it. In fact, that's why Jesus said in Matthew 15, verse number 19, he said, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies." Those are things that are manifested on the outside, but Jesus said it begins in the heart. It's a heart issue. And what we see in our day and time, a lot of the evil and the wickedness, in fact, all the evil and the wickedness that we see, you know, people want to make out like it's a gun issue. This church that was massacred last Sunday, and we pray for those. And, you know, I can't imagine that dear pastor having to perform over 20 funerals. And having to visit the hospital with another 20 or so that are injured. And from what I understand, they've got to they're going to tear that building down because it's in such bad shape. They said it could never really be put back together, and it's got such bad thoughts now that they're going to have to be somewhere else as far as where they assemble. But the man that shot that church up, that was manifested on the outside, but the problem was a heart problem. It's not a gun issue, it's a heart issue. Galatians 5, verse 19 through 21 calls the things that Jesus was talking about there in Matthew 15, 19, these evil thoughts and murders, adulteries, fornications and all. Jesus mentioned those things, but Paul said that those are the works of the flesh. That's what he referred to them as. I want you to keep in mind that God not only sees and judges our actions, but also this morning, God sees and judges our thoughts. I don't know any of us that would, this morning, if we were to pull down the screen, would want our thought life put on the screen, would we? I know I wouldn't. You know, our thoughts are not always what they ought to be, but we need to realize that God knows our thoughts. Hebrews 4:13 says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. All of our thoughts are exposed before God. So the question before us this morning, how can we have the right thoughts? How can we have the right thoughts? How can the meditations of our heart, the things that we dwell upon, the things that we think about, how can they be acceptable in God's sight? Number one, let me share with you that we must recognize the sources of wrong thinking and avoid them. And if you're going to have right thoughts, you're going to have to try to avoid the things that cause the wrong thoughts, aren't you? Now, it's not totally possible to, in this world in which we live, and we'll say more about that in a minute, but there's a saying that came out during the early 1980s, just as the personal computer came out on the scene, and those of us that had the frustrations of those early computers, you know, with it just freshly out, and we think, you know, what in the world is wrong with this thing? And the saying was, garbage in, garbage out. Yeah. So the problem is with the operator, right? Said, you know, if you don't put good things in, you're not going to get good things out. Scientists tell us that the human mind is one of the most complex living mechanisms in the world. Our brain is the most influential organ of our bodies, for as it goes, so goes our physical lives. If you want good output, you have to have good input. Our brain accounts for our ability to think and remember and love and hate and feel and reason and imagine and analyze. The average brain weighs in at about 3 pounds. It's estimated to contain some 12 billion cells. Think about that. Each of which is connected to 10,000 other brain cells. Think about it. Every cell in your brain is connected to 10,000 other cells in the brain. That's 120 trillion brain connections. It just boggles the mind, doesn't it? It shows the glory of God, doesn't it? You know, just as much as as looking up into the heavens. But no wonder some scientists have stated that the human brain is the most complex arrangement of matter in the universe. Some have compared the human brain to a sophisticated computer. But technology still hasn't come even close to duplicating the capabilities of the brain. The fellow who holds over 50 patents with IBM, his name is Gerard Dirks, and he said that he acquired most of his inventive ideas from studying the functions of the human brain. Think about that. Our brain supervises everything we do. From the involuntary beat of our heart, aren't you glad you don't have to think about your heart beating? It's just beating. Your brain is telling it to beat. And it's doing it. Can you imagine how tired we would get just trying to think about our heart beating? But our heart beats because the brain tells it to beat. Our brain supervises everything from that involuntary beat of our heart to the conscious decisions of life. It controls hearing, sight, smell, speech, eating, resting, learning, prejudices, everything else that makes us behave as we do. Our eyes and our ears are the primary avenues that receive information. All five senses, our body receives information, doesn't it? But primarily, our eyes and our ears program our minds and influences our lives. The human mind can be symbolized by a file cabinet. I have a couple of file cabinets, and that's where I store away things that I want to remember later on. And you've got a brain that stores things. It's a place of storage. We call it memory. And the older we get, it's hard to find some of those things in memory in it. But from its file, we make our deductions, our judgments, and our decisions. The things that we see and hear, though, influence the thoughts of our mind. And I want you to understand that our mind determines our actions. It determines our actions. Everything that we see, hear, touch, taste, and smell is recorded on the lobes of our brain. Really, it's never to be totally forgotten. I mean, they're there. You might not be able to pull them up, you know, but it's there. And you just go to a nursing home sometime. I began my preaching ministry in a nursing home. And sometimes you get an opportunity to talk to folks that are there. You'll find their brains are stuck on a certain area of their memory that's there. And they'll repeat it over and over and over again. It's there from a long, long time ago. They might not be able to remember a few minutes ago, but they can remember a way long time ago. Some information remains in our subconscious files and can't be recalled at will, as those things that are in the conscious section. But you ever been walking down a mall and a certain smell brought back memories like that? Or maybe it was a song that was playing, and that song took you somewhere in your mind to where it had some importance in your heart and mind. But a sight, a smell, or a sound can draw us back into that file cabinet and bring those things up, bring that conscious thought. And there's something we need to consider at this point. Number one, because everything we see and hear is indelibly recorded in our mind. And number two, and the things that are recorded in our mind are going to influence how we think. And our thinking influences our behavior or how we act. Well, then, if those things, three things are true, then it's of utmost importance that we guard our eyes and our ears, right? Our hearts and our mind. Remember serial killer Ted Bundy? Remember when Dr. James Dobson sat down and talked with him about his murderous spree. He was a serial killer. He was on death row. And a lot of folks criticized Dr. Dobson for even going in there and talking to him in the first place. But he went in there and talked to him. And Ted Bundy talked about how the influence of pornography in his life took him to that point where he was at. He would dwell upon the pornography, and it affected his mind. It affected his heart. And it caught him dwelling upon that had an influence on him carrying out those actions. James 1, verse 14 and 15 says, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." I know there was a lot of music in the 60s and 70s in the time that I grew up that began filling the minds of young people, including myself, with perverted sex, rebellion, drugs, and the occult. Remember, if those of you that grew up in that same area, remember that that is the case. You think that that has anything to do with the mess that we are in our society today? You know, all the adults in our time went through that, and they got them to thinking a certain way. where Paul warned Timothy about the perilous times that were going to come. He talked about how folks would be incontinent, meaning that they would be without self-control. And we live at a time where people lack self-control. You just do some things. And they'll say, well, I couldn't help myself. I just did it. And they're fierce. You know, when we see the gruesome themes of movies that pervade our day, is there any wonder that there's a corresponding increase in savagery in our days? Because the word fierce means savage. And I think what we're seeing the results of what has filled folks' minds. Hollywood and others fill the TV and movie screens with evil communications. Many disc jockeys fill the airwaves with evil communications. Publishers fill the newsstands and bookstores with evil communications. What does the Bible say about evil communications? 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." It's going to corrupt you. Let me ask this question. What are you programming your mind with? We must recognize the sources of wrong thinking and avoid them. Number two, we must recognize the sources of right thinking and embrace them. Turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. You're in Psalm 19. Turn to Psalm 119. Remember, if we want good output, then we must have good input. And thinking about we must recognize the sources of right thinking and embrace them, I want you to see that the Word of God must become our primary source of programming. What am I going to program my brain with? Word of God. Amen. Word of God, you can't get any better than it. Look at Psalm 119, verse number 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How are you going to clean up your act? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. The psalmist says here, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, notice, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Notice, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. The word of God must become primary in our primary source of programming. God told Joshua in Joshua 1:8 that he needed to meditate therein day and night. Talk about the law of God. He said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that according to all that's written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success." Meditating on the word, good stuff in, good stuff out. Psalm 1, in verse 1 and 2, talks about the blessed man. So blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Listen, but his delight is in, where? In the law of the Lord. And in his law, in the word of God, does he meditate day and night. Romans 12, verse number 2, tells us that we're not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. How do we renew our minds? Word of God. We renew it with the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing. You think faith is something that we need increased in our life? You know, we have saving faith, thank God for that. And that came the same way that we're going to get the other kind of faith for our lives. And that is from the Word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and be hearing by the Word of God. And that's why in Colossians, chapter 2 and verse number 6 and 7, he says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Well, if you're going to be rooted and built up in Christ Jesus, where are you going to find that at? Word of God. That's where we be rooted at. Our lives are to be rooted there. That's how we got saved, was God's Word speaking the gospel to our hearts. And the way we grow, the way we are to walk, is to be rooted and built up in Christ. And of course, there's 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17 that tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. Listen, it's profitable for your life this morning, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So the primary source of our programming, the Word of God, must become our primary source of programming. Look at Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. And we see that we must program our minds with those things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, a good report, virtuous and praiseworthy. It comes right from Philippians 4, verse number 8. Look what he says. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. If we think on those things, then the meditations of our heart are more likely to be right. We must have nothing to do with the sources of wrong thinking. Ephesians, you're there in Philippians. Flip back to Ephesians 5 for just a moment. Ephesians chapter number 5. Look at what it says there in verse number 11. Ephesians 5, verse number 11 says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." So here's the question. You're going to feed your mind with that which is in the light, the Word of God, or that which is darkness? And that's everything else. What is the right kind of Christian communication that honors God? Look at verse number 15 here. Ephesians 5:15 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." There's a passage in the book of Colossians. Look at Colossians chapter number 3. Next book over from Philippians. Colossians 3, look at verse 16 and 17. And it begins by telling us how important the Word of Christ is in our thought life. Notice what it says. Colossians 3, verse 16, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." That means that we are to take it in, and we're to meditate on it. Amen? That's how you dwell on the Word of Christ. "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." So we must recognize the sources of wrong thinking and avoid them. We must recognize the sources of right thinking and embrace them. And then, lastly, I want you to turn to two passages, 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and Romans chapter number 12. I'm going to go to Romans 12 first. Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 10. And here's the third thing I want you to realize. We must resist the temptation of confident thinking. Look at Romans 12, verse number 3. "So for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So we're to think soberly, not think more of ourselves and say, hey, that could never happen to me. Because we see 1 Corinthians 10, look at what Paul told the Corinthian Christians. 1 Corinthians 10, let's begin with verse 1. It says, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Notice verse 5, but with many of them, okay? All of them had the same experience there in the desert, the wilderness with Moses, but with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things happen, now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Okay, there's an example given. Don't have the same attitude that they had. Don't have the same lust that they had. He says in verse 7, neither be ye idolaters as some of them. As it's written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day, 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed as serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Verse 12, important. Wherefore let him that thinketh, he standeth. That's a confident thought about yourself. Let him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. There is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Now I understand that we aren't going to be able to totally avoid the sources of wrong programming in this world. It's impossible. As you ride down the road, you're bombarded with billboards. You're bombarded with people walking among you who are clothed the wrong way, talking the wrong way, and those things are coming through your eye gate and your ear gate. They're sources of wrong programming because of the world that we live in. Not everything is in our control. We are going to face a spiritual battle as long as we are in this life. And that's why Paul gave an admonition to the Ephesus Christians. He told them, he said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. How do we get strong in the Lord? You got to be in the Word. And he said that we're to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And we need to realize that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And that's why we're to take on that whole armor of God, that we may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Part of that armor of God is the offensive weapon God has given to us of His precious Word. We're to take the sword of the Spirit. Amen. The Word of God can help us battle the world, the flesh, and the devil in our lives. And though a lot of what we are bombarded with in this world is out of our control, we should nevertheless control the things that are in the realm of our control. What we intentionally look at. What we intentionally listen to. The things that we allow into our eye gate and our ear gate. And the close companions that we keep. Are the meditations of your heart this morning acceptable in the sight of the Lord? What's on your mind? Is it full of God dishonoring garbage? What are you filling your mind with? Maybe the problem that you haven't got God's nature and divine power in your life. That only comes from being born again. I trust that you're born again this morning. That's where it begins. You got to be born again by the Spirit of God so that His Word can even affect your life. Once you're born again, then you need to take this book in. It needs to be the primary source of your thinking. It must affect your life. Renew your mind in the Word of God. Let's bow in prayer. If you're here this morning without the Lord in your life, we invite you to come. Receive Him into your life so that you can have the right thoughts. Because right thoughts is what causes us to have right actions. And you say, well, I don't know why I do the things that I do. It's because your mind is consumed with the wrong things. Get your mind on the right kind of things. Begins with salvation. Make sure you're saved. And then it continues with what we allow into our eye gates and ear gates in our lives. We're going to play a hymn of invitation here after we pray. And we'll invite you to come. And the Lord spoke into your heart. Get things right with Him. Father, we just thank You so much this morning for the Word of God and how it speaks to us. Lord, our thoughts need to be acceptable. Our meditations, the things that we dwell upon, we ought to want them as children of God. We ought to want them to be acceptable with You. And sometimes we may get frustrated because we have the wrong thoughts. But the question is, have we been programming our mind the right way? Or is it a matter of garbage in, garbage out? Lord, help us with these things. Help us with the meditations of our heart as we study, read, and absorb Your Word. Lord, may it have the influence in our and overwhelm the influence of this world. May it have the influence in our lives it ought to have, and Lord, to overwhelm everything in this world. Have Your will and way in this invitation, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.